Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. And I want you to know today that I am a prisoner of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you are as well, that you are not captive to the negative news that others might be propagating, but you say, you know what, God's got me in his hand, and that's all that I really need to know. So I get up, I go out every day, but last week on Tuesday, I emerged from my office and I said, this is a beautiful, beautiful day. The day before had been stormy with tornado warnings and all of that sort of stuff. But I said, this is a beautiful, beautiful day. In fact, it was days like that that caused me to struggle in the springtime when I was in college. There were golf courses that would scream and holler my name when the weather was as beautiful as it was last week. And so be sure and be grateful whenever you get one of those opportunities to just say, you know what, God has been good to me, and I'm going to give thanks to him. So we want to encourage you to stay tuned to Facebook and our website, meritassembly.com. As for announcements and things like that, we're believing that things are going to be getting back to normal what we were able to do before. We believe that that's going to be coming quickly, and so I want you to pay attention to those so that we can let you know when we do get to return to our schedule. We are trying to advance during this season. We're not trying to retreat. It's not been time off for us. It has been still pressing ahead and strategizing and praying and believing for miracles. And it's been different, but we will certainly be glad to be able to be around people. I miss people. I miss people. And so we're looking forward to what God is going to do in the future. We're going to return in our scriptures today to Psalm 116. I'm going to read for you the first 14 verses today. We finished through verse 7 yesterday. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. And so we talked about that on last Friday. Verse number 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our Lord is, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And that is where we ended up yesterday. Verse number 8, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said, in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So where we ended up yesterday was, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I want to spend a little bit of time at verse number 12, 13, and 14 before we move on to the next passage around verse number 8. So verse number 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. The Amplified says this, how can I repay him for all his bountiful dealings? So verse 7, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. That is not a future tense. That is a past tense. That is an acknowledgement of the faithfulness to God to this point in the psalmist's journey. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Verse number 12 talks about our response. We need to have a response to the blessings of God, to the favor of God. We need to have a response to the forgiveness that he extends to us. We need to have a response when he hears our cry and he answers our prayer. We need to have a response when blessings pour into our life. We need to have a response when we hear the voice of God and we know that he's the lover of our soul. There needs to be a response from the people of God. It starts with saying, because he has dealt bountifully with me, my soul can rest. I can have that strength in him, that confidence in him. But the Amplified says, how can I repay him for all of this? Now, I will tell you this. We do not purchase our salvation. It was purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot earn your salvation. It is not on the labors of men. Most of the religions of the world are all about human endeavor to try and achieve a favor with God. There are some religions that believe as long as there was 50.1% good in you versus 49.9% bad in you, that you will get to go to a pleasant eternity. I mean, that's a very, very fine line. You don't want to miscalibrate when you are living that close to the edge. You know, and so there are people who are trying to earn their salvation. We do not work for Jesus. We do not give for him to try and earn our salvation. We work and we give and we praise because of our salvation. His work on the cross, his intercession at the right hand of the Father, it enables and empowers us to be able to live and do the things that God created for us to do in the first place. Thank God for his opportunity. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God that he deals with us bountifully. Okay, so if I can ask you, do you think that God is just interested in giving you enough to barely get by, or do you realize that God is the God of all resource? He is the all-sufficient one, and even though our economy here in this country and our economy around the world has taken a hit, the economy of heaven is still functioning. God is still able to deal bountifully with people. And so if you start reading through the stories of Elijah and you read about the stories of Elisha, you are going to find that God deals bountifully with people. And you read about the Jesus breaking of the bread and taking a little and multiplying it and feeding thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It's because God can take a little and stretch it and make it much. Man has the ability of taking much and compacting it and causing it to do very little. God has dealt bountifully with me. He has dealt bountifully with you. And so the psalmist says, what is my response? How can I repay him? So there are a lot of people who live their life with the mindset, well, what have you done for me lately? Well, if you haven't done anything for me lately, then you don't necessarily get a response out of me for right now. That's a very short-sighted, very narrow-minded type of way to live. It is a way to live ungrateful instead of grateful. So here in the New King James Version, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Forget not all his benefits. How am I going to respond to the beneficial way that God has treated me? So verse number 13, the psalmist begins his course of action. He says, I'm going to lay out a plan. He says, I am going to take up the cup of salvation. I will take up the cup of salvation. And the Amplified adds this, and deliverance. I will take up the cup of salvation and deliverance. One of the most frustrating things about being a pastor is seeing people who want to come and say a prayer and ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins, and then they are stuck there. They don't ever move beyond that point. Thank God that you said the prayer. Thank God that your sins are forgiven. But God doesn't intend for you to be saved and bound. He wants you to be saved and delivered. He wants you walking in victory. He wants to lavish his love and his benefits upon you. If he did not withhold his son, how would he withhold any good thing from you? The devil would get you and I to believe that God is holding out on us, and God really sitting there waiting for us to walk in obedience. And he says, I'm going to lavish all of heaven's blessings upon you. I've told you that, you know, the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't necessarily delivered out of them. They kept wanting to go back. They wanted to go back to that which they were familiar. There are some, by the way, since we're on the topic of deliverance, I had conversations with people in another state during this crisis, and they said liquor stores were deemed essential. I was driving down one of our local streets, and I saw people lined up at the medical marijuana dispensary, and they were like, I've got to have this in my life. Now, I can tell you that some of the stuff that I was hearing a week or so ago was that medical personnel were discouraging people from participating with alcohol in their life because they're starting to see a connection. They were starting to see a connection between complications that people were having and their consumption of alcohol. And then they said this, it is our observation that alcohol is compromising the immune systems of these of people in society and making them more susceptible to serious coronavirus complications. And I was like, well, if that is what the science is saying, a wise person would realize that you do not want your immune system compromised during this crisis, but you don't want your immune system compromised at any time in your life. I want my immune system to fight off every infection that comes its way. I don't want to make its job harder. I want to make its job easier. So the psalmist here says, I will take up the cup of salvation and deliverance. In other words, he is saying, I am going to partake of a different resource now that I have been saved and now that I have been set free, now that the Lord has dealt with me with bountiful dealings, he has changed the course of my life from here on out, I'm going to take up that cup of salvation and I am going to strengthen myself on the resources of heaven. I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm going to feast on his word. I'm going to fellowship with the saints. I'm going to tell you, when we get permission to hold the meetings together as a body of believers, and we're not on the 10-person restriction and all of that sort of stuff, we are going to celebrate getting together with the saints. I miss people. It is going to be an unashamed celebration of we have been dealing with these challenges together but separate, and now we get to come together and we get to worship in the spirit of unity. How good and pleasant it is when brethren get to dwell together in unity. We're going to celebrate that because it is just going to be a foretaste of what it is going to be like when we are caught up to be with Jesus forever, to spend an eternity with him. The psalmist says, I will take up the cup of salvation and deliverance and call upon the name of the Lord. So not only do we start resourcing ourselves from the resources of heaven because of his bountiful dealings, but we also cry out to God with a greater frequency and make it a routine because the God who has dealt bountifully wants to continue to deal bountifully with us. Don't stop praying when the crisis ends. Don't stop praying when when your loved one gets healed. Don't stop praying when that trouble at work is now in the rearview mirror. Don't stop praying because of what you're facing now. Continue to call upon the name of the Lord because of how God has dealt with you all the way up until this point, and you want him to continue. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. It is meant to be a public thing. It is not supposed to be a private thing. It is supposed to be something that takes place on a regular basis. So now let's go back to verse number 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And I pray that we have the testimony that the psalmist has, and that we're going to be a grateful people, a thankful people, and it is going to be known not just by a very small circle of friends, but by as many people as we can inform about that. When God has dealt wonderfully with you, testify, testify, testify. That's my motto. Okay? Verse number 8, for you have delivered my soul from death. This is right after, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Verse number 8, for you have delivered my soul from death. Not just your physical life, but your spiritual life, your financial life, all of these different things that are going on. And we need to recognize that God delivers us from every enemy, even the last enemy that we deal with, and that is the enemy of death. Death is a word that means separation. Separation. So when a physical body dies, that corpse has been separated from the life that once dwelt within it. So from a spiritual nature, death is being separated from the life-giving presence of God. And here the psalmist says, for you have delivered my soul from death. That means that he has delivered us from the things that were leading us to death. The scripture says the soul that sins shall die. The soul that sins shall die. So Jesus came and paid the price. He experienced that separation from God for us so that we did not have to spend an eternity separated from God. We get to be reconciled to God. And because of the fact that we've been reconciled to God, we have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation, carrying the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody that we can to let them know God has already dealt bountifully with them. They just aren't walking in the benefits yet because they are not aware that the benefits are extended in covenant relationship. For you have delivered my soul from death. So, I think I've talked about this on a recent program, and that was a lot of people, if they experience a spiritual disappointment or a spiritual shock, such as, you know, we got when we found out that my mother had passed away, that what happens is many times because now they're face to face with a disappointment that has interrupted their life, many people get bitter at God and they forget about all of the benefits. One of the benefits of living a godly life and a life that is a blessing to other people is that when you are taken out of the picture, you're missed. The Bible talks about people that perish to no one's regret. There wasn't anybody regretting when they passed from the scenes. God wants us to live a life in such a manner that people notice when we are gone, and then somebody steps up and fills that void. So instead of bitterness, I want to encourage you to live a life of gratitude and say, you know what, God, I want to thank you. If you hadn't intervened, this event may have deprived us of a lot of wonderful blessings, of wonderful memories that we had available to us. And so remember that God delivers our soul. He delivers, I mean, he is the deliverer. It is what he does. And death, the resurrection of Jesus proves that death was powerless against the Lord Jesus Christ. It struck his heel, but he crushed that serpent's head. And I am very, very thankful that God delivers not just our physical body from death, but he can deliver our marriages from death. He can deliver our finances. He can deliver our spirit. He can deliver us. And the way that he does that is he comes and he starts changing the behavior so we're not missing the mark any longer. We are now hitting the mark and we are experiencing the rewards that come from living a life of obedience. Okay? So that's a wonderful, wonderful deliverance. We could stop there, but the psalmist did not. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears. My eyes from tears. Weeping is an expression of our love. Sometimes it is an expression of our pain that we are going through. sometimes tears are an expression of joy because we are just so blessed, so thrilled that we don't have any way to express how grateful we are. We just start sharing tears. Here, God is talking about delivering from a life of sorrow, a life of heartache, a life of sadness and remorse. Don't be imprisoned by your failures. Okay? There are some people say, so are you encouraging people to fail? I want to encourage people to grow. And some of the greatest growth cycles in my life came as a result of trying something and not succeeding, but learning in the process, saying, you know what? I know God wants me to succeed. I know that He wants me to be blessed in whatever I put my hand to do. So I must have done something wrong in the process. There must have been a fault in my application of the equation. And so I want to learn from that. Today, you may be going around and you might be mourning. And I did discover from my own self that mourning is a much more complicated reality than just going around crying all the time. Sometimes mourning has some unintentional manifestations in your life, and you need to be able to know how to process those. Let me just say this. Verse number 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." And so for believers, the confidence that we have is not that death has had the final say with a loved one, but that Jesus has conquered the grave and that He's got our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He's going to say, your place is ready. Your seat at the banquet table is prepared. Your mansion has been set up just for you, and it's time for you to come and experience the bountiful blessings of God in a way that you've never comprehended. If you've lost a loved one, don't go around with sorrow ruling and reigning. Let the joy of the Lord and the peace of God pass that understanding. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."